So thank you all for coming and being willing to have a slight change of schedule. Are we okay with translation system? Everybody who wants it is getting it. Yes, okay. We're having our discussion a little bit earlier today because I have to catch a flight. I will be going to Brussels, and from Brussels to Radhadesh. Who of you have visited Radhadesh? Who of you who have not visited Radhadesh would like to visit Radhadesh? Okay. So one of the special features of the temple we call Radhadesh is the temple itself, with very beautiful Murtis, deities, Shishi Radha Gopinath, and Lalita Devi and Vishakha Devi, together with Lord Jagannath and Subhadra and Baladev, and also Shishi Gornitai. The other particular feature of Radhadesh, which I'm specifically involved with, is a little tiny, tiny college called Bhakti Vedanta College. It's a kind of theological seminary which was started 12 years ago, and we are teaching a program in theology, Vaishnava theology, and religious studies, together with the University of Chester in the UK. That means Chester University is accrediting our program. So students who complete the program receive a degree, a diploma, which is a real diploma, recognized in the real world. Okay. Do we have any guests here for the first time? No, you've all been here. Okay, that's also nice. First time? Special welcome. Oh. Huh?
It's not the first time yet, it's only the first time you...
Oh, okay. Yeah, that, I suppose that counts also. Some sort of first time. So I think we're all very happy today. Finally, the sun managed to get through the layers and layers of clouds today a little bit. And some of us went immediately to Tivoli Park. And, yeah, because we're naturally attracted to light. In Bengali language, it is said, Krishna Surya Sama Maya Hoya Andhakar. Jahan Krishna Tahan Mayar Adi, Nahi Mayar Adikar. Jahan Krishna Tahan Nahi Mayar Adikar. Krishna is compared to the sun. Who is Krishna? Well, that's what we're all about. We're about finding out who is Krishna, particularly finding out not by some academic process, but by the process of bhakti or bhakti yoga. Krishna is identified in ancient Indian scriptures as Bhagavan, the Supreme Person, the Supreme Lord. Krishna is one of many, many names of this Supreme Lord, who we understand is indeed the Supreme Person, just as we are persons. So the original person is also a person. Put it the other way around, we are persons because there is an original person from whom we are all originating. Okay, I thought I will read, I'll start out by reading a verse from Bhagavad Gita, and I'm jumping way back to near the end of Bhagavad Gita, into the 18th chapter, to a verse which I find useful for myself, and I think you may also find useful to remember in, let's say, everyday life. One of the big topics of Bhagavad Gita, spoken by Krishna, is, yes, I want to read from verse 48 of chapter 18. One of the big themes, one of the big topics in the Bhagavad Gita, quite amazing conversation between Krishna and his friend Arjuna, is karma. Karma is a topic that's become something of a household topic, household word here in the West. Everybody knows something about karma, right? We might not have a very clear idea what it is, but we know it has something to do with action and maybe reaction. And so that's what the Bhagavad Gita is. It's one of the things that Bhagavad Gita is very concerned about. So this verse goes like this in Sanskrit. Sahajam karma kaunteya sadosham apinatyajet sarvarambha hidoshena dhume nagnir ivavrita. We're getting signals. Everything okay? Impossible. Not loud enough? Should I move closer to this? Okay, the problem is, I think then we get something overdrive. Anyway, we'll see. Okay, sahajam. Saha means together, and jam means birth. Sahaja, born with. What is born with what? Karma, sahajam karma, and then this is Krishna, he's speaking to Arjuna, and one of Arjuna's names is Kaunteya, because he's known as the son of Kunti, so he's called Kaunteya. Sahajam karma Kaunteya sadosham api na. Tyajet. Dosham, some people confuse the word dosha with dosa. Dosa is a South Indian very thin pancake. Very tasty, but that's not what Krishna's talking about here. And sa means with, so he's not saying sahajam with pancakes. He is saying, with fault. Fault. What's the Slovenian word for fault? Huh? Napaka. Okay, napaka. Napaka. Huh? Another one? Prem Gopi? Pomanti. All right. Whatever. You know what we're talking about. So, what's Krishna saying here? He's saying, together with action, karma, strictly speaking, just means action. Wherever there's going to be some kind of action, you can be sure there's going to be some kind of fault. Sarvaramba, no, sadosham api, na tyajet. Api means although there will be fault with karma, na tyajet, tyaja means renouncing, giving up, and tyajet means, in this case, negative, don't do it, don't give up. Don't give up the faults? No, he says, don't give up the action. Even though there are going to be faults, don't stop acting. That's all he's saying. Sarvarambha. Arambha means venture, like, undertaking, like you want to start up a new business or something. That's an arambha, to undertake, to take up some project. Sarva arambha, he, doshena, dosha, again, fault. With fault, you can be sure with every endeavor, he's saying again, there will be fault. And then the last line he gives, comparison, the analogy. Dhuma means smoke. Agni means fire. And avrita means covered. So dhumena agnir eva avrita. Just as fire is covered by smoke. Not good. What to do? Should I use a different microphone? That'll be even worse. Okay. Huh? It's okay. Is it okay?
Yes.
It's okay. Exactly illustrating my point. That with every endeavor there is some fault, but we cannot decide, therefore, I will stop speaking because it's not so perfect sound. No, we'll just go ahead. The example of smoke and fire, everybody knows about fire, everybody knows about smoke. Very simple analogy. One little detail here that's interesting is that it's the reverse of a famous example from the Indian logic tradition. In Indian logic, the famous number one syllogism is, there is smoke on the mountain. Oh, so what? Second step of the syllogism. Wherever there is smoke, there is fire. Okay. Might be true, might not be true, but let's say it's true. Example, step three. As in a kitchen. Oh yeah, in the kitchen. Yeah, I remember, I've seen smoke, and then sure enough, there was also fire. And then the final step, therefore there is fire on the mountain. Actually, I skipped the first. The first step is, there's fire on the mountain. How do you know there's fire on the mountain? Because there's smoke. Yeah, so what? Well, wherever there's smoke, there's fire. Like in the kitchen. So there's fire on the mountain. Proof! There's fire on the mountain. By reasoning, by inference. That's an example of logic. So that example now is getting kind of reversed here to say wherever, instead of saying wherever there's smoke, there's fire, it says wherever there's fire, there's smoke. And then it's making a different point. And the point is that there are faults wherever there's action. Okay? So what, we may say. So what if there is a fault with action? Well, I raise this point because we have in our what we call Krishna consciousness movement efforts to develop, to create, and to maintain what we might call spiritual community. And an interesting thing about any sort of community in this age is that it's very difficult to create. Spiritual community, any kind of community. Nowadays we have, of course, communities of people living more or less together. We also have virtual communities. Now everybody's on the internet. With our Facebooks and footbooks or backbooks or bookbooks and so on. I sometimes think these creations of the internet, of the digital information explosion or whatever we call it, are a kind of pale substitute for something that has already been there in previous times, in earlier times. Community, that was something everybody lived in and was part of, wasn't it, in earlier times. And we have a sense, we all have a sense that something has gone missing in our lives, and sometimes we give a name to that we are missing. And what is that? Community. Anyway, we could go sort of on and on that subject, but the point I want to make is that there are various obstacles to the creation and the maintenance of community, a lot of obstacles. And one of the obstacles is that, guess what? We're all different. We have different backgrounds. We have different personalities. We have different natures. We have different aspirations, hopes, and so on. And this is this makes it difficult to have community. Well, the simple solution that our tradition of what we call Vaishnavism proposes is, let's make one single objective, one single aim of our community, something we can all agree on. So we decide to agree that there is one supreme person. We call him Krishna. We call him Rama. We call him Damodar. We call him Madhava. We call him Govinda. and many other very nice names. And we agree that if we really, really, really get down to the bottom of who we are, what's the sort of common denominator? What's the common, what's the point of commonality that we all have? We discover, we find out, actually, it's not something you can really discover on your own, but we find out from Krishna's tradition of teachers, of gurus, that we're all servants of that Supreme Person. And service, that's something we have some understanding of. What is service? And the reason we understand it is because that's what we are. However much we may try to be master, what we really are is servant. And we are happiest when we're in that position doing service to the best master. To serve just anyone, we may or may not be so happy. But if we're finding the best master to serve, then we are happy. So, all right, we may say, great, problem solved. We're all different, but we have something in common. And what is that? We're all servants, and we all agree we're going to serve the same person. Okay, we have agreement, therefore we have community. Ta-da! Yes? No? Maybe. I sense little bits of yes and little bits of no and a big maybe. And what I want to suggest is that one of the reasons for this big sense of maybe is what Krishna is saying here. Wherever there's some endeavor, you can be sure there's going to be some fault. Now, okay, let's say that we agree that makes sense. Probably does make sense because we all have experience. But then we have something else in a spiritual society that complicates the story. And that is that we're all aiming to eventually achieve a position in a place where there are no faults, where everything is perfect. One name for this place, this location beyond this world, is Vaikuntha. Vaikuntha means a place where there's no anxiety. So we want to get to this place of perfection, and so we think, okay, what do I have to do to get there? Well, I have to act perfectly. And so we start making efforts to act perfectly, and we do the best we can, but guess what? We have these funny bodies, which are not so perfect. And we have these funny minds, which are also not so perfect. They have their good qualities. We can do lots of things with them, but there are problems with them as well. And so we find that what Krishna says is true. Wherever there's some action, there's going to be some fault. All right, so we forgive ourselves and we keep trying to do things more nicely. We try to engage in spiritual activities more carefully. We try to chant Hare Krishna mantra more nicely. This is our main activity, chanting Hare Krishna mantra, hearing nicely. We try to read and to hear the literature like Bhagavad Gita and understand it more deeply. Like that, we try. And we try to have nicer, what we call sangha, association with others who are in the community. And this is where the trouble starts. Because on the one side we say, in order to advance in spiritual life, you must, we, not you, we, must be in association with other like-minded persons to serve the Lord. And simultaneously we find it's especially amongst all of us who are pursuing this perfection that somehow the faults, sometimes they seem as if they get magnified. Of course, what happens is not that I'm having any faults, but everyone else is. And then what happens, we find ourselves distracted, we find ourselves less able to focus on our effort to serve, our effort to engage in activities of bhakti yoga. And then what happens, what often happens, doesn't have to happen, but it can happen. One decides, this is not really working. They're making big promises. Just chant Hare Krishna and your life will be sublime. And join this spiritual community and your life will be sublime. Take Krishna prasadam and your life will be sublime. But, I don't know. Something happened to me. Somebody said something to me. Or somebody didn't say something to me. or somebody looked at me the wrong way. Or somebody didn't look at me the wrong way. Or whatever. Something happened or something didn't happen, which somehow disappointed. And so what do we think? We think, that's not for me. And we go looking for something else. We go wandering about in the three worlds or the 14 worlds, depending on which version of the description of the universe you take. And who knows when we might come back to try it again. Which reminds me of a very nice account that I read today I wanted to share with you. Tomorrow, I believe it's tomorrow, we are observing the annual day when our founder Acharya of ISKCON, International Society for Krishna Consciousness, first landed in the United States. In other words, when he first started his mission. That was in 1965. September 1965, yes. So for many of us, that's a significant day that we mark our calendars with. Here's a little memory from one devotee who met Srila Prabhupada in November of 1965. How many of us were alive that yet? Anyway, November 1965, and this is from a devotee whose name is Prabhupada Das. He says, I was in a very desperate state. I was brought up middle class in Brooklyn, which is part of Greater New York, in a Jewish TV dinner kind of background. You know what TV dinners are? It's a pre-made dinner. You just put it in the oven and take it out. Yeah, it's, you know, it's completely synthetic, pure plastic. So I was brought up in this kind of background, kind of pampered, I guess. You know what pampered means? It's kind of spoiled, you know? Spoiled? Yeah. Indulged. Anyway. And here I was, out on the streets, in a dangerous part of town, with no money, and affected by LSD. And affected by my own unbalanced mind. So, I came to Prabhupada to ask him. Well, he goes on to explain. He needed to, you know, ask him how to get out of his crazy condition. But he was too disturbed to properly ask anything. Instead he was telling Srila Prabhupada things. He was saying, yes, I, like you, am also going about working hard all day, speaking to people, trying to spread the word. Imagine, Srila Prabhupada. He said, and I thought I was preaching something. Srila Prabhupada just looked at me and shook his head. And he spoke to me very strongly, and he said, simply join us. We will solve all your problems. Of course, in hindsight, thinking back to the past, no more birth, no more death, no more disease, no more old age. At that point, he handed me a cloth. I thought it was a dhoti. You know, this cloth we wear. He said, I thought it was a dhoti, and I rejected it. I started stepping backward. Prabhupada was coming with some cloth, and he backed up. So as I was kind of walking backward toward the door, I told him, I'm not quite ready. As I was going out the door, Srila Prabhupada had his hand on the door frame. And I distinctly remember he had a tear coming out of his eyes. And he said, please come back. Just like that. So here's this young fellow who's very disturbed, and he's met Srila Prabhupada in November 1965 when he's hardly begun his movement, but he decides, no, I'm not ready for this. And Prabhupada said, please come back. So it struck me that this is a nice message for us to remember. However much or little we may feel committed to this community of Krishna devotees. We are all of us who make the effort to come here today may feel some sort of commitment to this community. And yet, all of us However, including those of us who may live in a temple and be going to Mangalarti every morning and so on, we may sometimes feel like, yes, but. It's nice, but. But if we can remember that whatever the faults, that's just part of the mix. That's part of the process. That's part of the game. And as we make effort to progress for ourselves in spiritual life, if we can put aside the inclination to say, no, I'm not going to do this because of this, 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 and this, and remember this moment when Srila Prabhupada, with a tear in his eye, said, please come back, then I think this can be a step toward a community becoming stronger, becoming more spiritual, becoming more of what it is we all look for, what it is we feel we are lacking. Hare Krishna. That's what I had in mind. I could say other things, but I thought, let me give a little time for questions or discussion, because, well, that's also part of making community. So, Hare Krishna. Are there any comments or questions to any of these points about dosha or about dosa? Yes, Deva Vratta Prabhu.
I wanted to ask, sometimes when we endeavor, we look for the mistakes, and sometimes also a jiva can be on the right path but can have a fall down.
Mm-hmm. Can you hear the question, Gora Chandranana? Do you want to translate your question loudly in Slovenia?
Glede na to, da je rečeno, da se karkoli napreduje v zavesti Krišne, da se izgubi, kaj to pravzaprav pomeni za dušo?
Okay, well, let's think of an analogy. You're learning to ride a bicycle. You are 5 years old and your father is, you know, taking you and giving you a push, and you go for some time and then whoop, down you go. So that's kind of expected, isn't it? In the beginning, we're trying to do something that we're not familiar with. But we know that with a bit more practice, then we can ride a bicycle very, very easily. We don't even have to think about it. But then it can also happen, even after many years of riding a bicycle, that we have some sort of accident. Maybe we slip on some ice or run into someone or whatever, and we fall off the bicycle. Now, this happened without our intention. We didn't get on the bicycle thinking, today I'm going to go fall off my bicycle. No, we got on the bicycle with the intention of going somewhere, right? But things happen. And Krishna tells us in Bhagavad Gita that what he calls Daivi Shakti, energy is his energy, Gunamaya, consisting of the gunas, is dur ati aya. It is very, very, very difficult to overcome. So we're learning not just to ride a bicycle. Relatively speaking, to learn to ride a bicycle is very simple. We're learning something much more difficult. And so to slip should not be a surprise. One time Srila Prabhupada said, it's not surprising if someone gives up the process of bhakti yoga. What's surprising is if someone continues. That's surprising because it is very challenging. Another analogy I find helpful for myself is the astronomical phenomenon of retrograde planets. The two planets which, at least according to Western astronomy, are closer to the sun than the earth, due to the sort of complex motions of the planet, the sun, and the earth, can appear as if they are going backwards sometimes. Mercury or Venus can look sometimes as if it's going backwards. Is Mercury or Venus going backwards? No. So we know it's not, but it's appearing to go backwards. So similarly, there may be some difficulty that a devotee experiences, and that can appear as going backwards. But it may, in fact, from the bigger perspective, be simply part of that devotee's moving forward. It may be a moving forward, but through an especially difficult period of his or her life, or through a particularly difficult interpersonal situation, something like that. So I find this example helpful for keeping myself from unhelpful thinking about someone who, from my perspective, is going backwards. Because then I can remember, well, it may look like it's backwards to me, but what do I know? I don't see the whole picture of this person's life. I don't see, you know, Krishna's ultimate plan for this devotee. And that way I can avoid making aparad. Does that make any sense? So, oh, no questions? So I have a question for you. Anuradha's backing up. Okay, what's the question? Here's my question. Any of you here would say that you know 95% of those who are now in the room, at least by name? Anybody? Yeah? One, two. I see hesitant fingers going up. One or two. Okay. How about 75%? Okay. Oh, that's not bad. I see more hands over here than over here. That's an interesting phenomena. Wonder what that means. Okay, how about 50% by name? Okay, now we're getting some more hands over here finally. okay, we could keep going you know, 25% and so on until we get to zero and then everyone can raise their hands. Anyone who knows one other person in the room? Yes. All right, so I'm talking a little about community, spiritual community, and I mentioned that we are in this community focusing on trying to please the Supreme Person we call Krishna. So we have a name for that person, and of course all of us have names, isn't it? And one of the first ways, typically the first, not always, but it's often, the first thing that we learn about another person is their name. It's also one of the first ways that we disclose ourselves to another person. We say, my name is such and such. And one reason that we don't tell our names to someone else is we don't want another person to have any control over us, because to know someone's name is to have a bit of power. It's a little power over another person is to know their name. Anyway, to have spiritual community, any kind of community, involves knowing others in the community, isn't it? And to know others means to also disclose oneself, to be open, to tell something about oneself to another. Now don't worry, I'm not going to make you do anything you don't want to do. But what I want to suggest is that if the Spirit moves you sometime this afternoon, find somebody here whose name you don't know and introduce yourself and tell something about yourself and find out something about that person. Because one thing I've found as I've met our little spiritual communities in different parts of Europe and the world is we often come together, especially on Sunday, and I see faces that I've seen for years and years and years and years and years, and I still don't know your names. So that's my fault, but I find that it's also true for those who live in that community. I might have a little excuse maybe that I travel quite a bit, but I think for those who are in the same place, it might be, well, one step toward nicer, more inclusive community. What do you think? Novel idea. Strange thing to do. We are in Europe. We don't do things like that. You Americans, you're so sentimental. Okay. Anyway. Yes. You like? Okay, thank you. It's about time, yeah. Yeah, I think, you know, you might be amazed. You meet someone who you're happy to meet. Happy to get to know. That's part of community. It's not so much about making top-down arrangements, you know, making organization and making rules and regulations and all. That's not really the substance of community. Substance of community is people who are with other people, who know each other, who have common interests, and have open hearts for each other, who care for each other. That's community. Am I right, Moksha Rupi Prabhu? Well, maybe not. Yeah, I'm open to disagreement. Okay, I think we'll end there. And I have to excuse myself. Having preached that we should get to know each other, I now have to leave. Sorry about that. Anyway, next time. All right, thank you all very much for your attention. Srila Prabhupada ki. Ananta Goti Vaishnavarinda ki. Gaura Premanande. Oh, I almost forgot. One quick announcement. Some of you already know we have this book, Krishna Smarana, Devotees' Creative Monologues Elaborating Krishna's Pastimes. You may also know that we have Rama Smarana, Devotees' Creative Reflections on Divine Pastimes, Devotional Meditation Series Part 2. We now have a series. And now, hot off the press, as we say in America, Gaura Smarana, Devotees' Creative Reflections on Divine Pastimes. Devotional Meditations, Part 3. So these are, as the title suggests, this is a collection of many contributions, some of you included, with your reflections on what we read, what we hear from our scriptures, in this case, especially Chaitanya Charitamrita and Chaitanya Bhagavata. So these books are now available, and I think there's a table. Yes, there will be a table. You will see the table if you look carefully. Yeah, so please, there's limited number of copies. So even if you're not reading English, but you're a book collector, here's your chance. All right, I never was very good as a salesman. Hare Krishna, thank you very much.